If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, I believe that I want you to turn to the book of Acts. I believe that might be where I want to start at. I may have you stick your finger there, and I may go someplace else, but that would be a pretty good place to start. What I want to share with you this morning is the principle of testing. The principle of testing. How many know and have realized that since you've been born again and that you are now in the kingdom of God, that things don't always go like you think they should go? Does that work pretty much the way in your life? And there are trials and times of testings and goings on that just don't seem like it should be there. And what I want to try to do for you this morning is to try to explain this to you and get it kind of straightened out in your mind. If that little girl back there on the second row from the back would turn around, I would greatly appreciate it. People on the tape, that was my daughter, so in case anybody thinks I'm being mean, I'm not. I want you to understand testings and trials in your life. Now, I've been kind of leaning on this area for the last several weeks, and I believe I can help you with it. I believe I can show you some things in the Word of God that will help you understand testing in your life and trials and temptations and times in your life that just aren't what you think they should be. Now, I want to pray, and I'm going to ask the Christ in me. Is that biblical? Yeah. We've got some visitors, and I want to make sure that everybody knows that's... The Christ in me will come forth with the anointing and will bring forth the word. Lord, right now I do that. I pray, Lord, that the Christ in me, the hope of glory, the anointing in me will come forth. And Lord, that this word will be shared the way that you want it to be shared. That, Lord, our ears and our minds will be opened up and, Lord, expanded. And we'll be able to see things fresh and anew. And we'll be able to understand things taking place in our lives right now, Lord. We'll be able to get a grip on them and really understand that they're really saving us. That you're really showing us. You're really showing us through the times of our life, the trials of our life, the temptations of our lives, and the test of our lives, that you're really using these things to save us. In Jesus' name, Lord, bring that out. I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, this is the first thing that you've got to get. Every kingdom instrument will be tested. Every kingdom instrument will be tested. Look at it in the natural sense. Look at the automakers. Before you can drive one of those 86 cars, it was tested. Is that right? They took that car. First of all, they took the very first one that they ever produced, and they drove it to see if it was going to perform the way it was supposed to. And then every car that you get, every car that comes off of that manufacturing line is driven about, 6 or 8 miles? Something like that. To see if it will perform. They're going to test it. But even after that happens, sometimes there is a recall. Why? Because something is dangerously wrong with that automobile. And it will kill people if they don't get it fixed. Now, let's bring that into our spiritual application. Kingdom instruments will be tested. It's a principle of God's Word. Kingdom instruments will be tested. We have got to go through tests in our lives to reveal the places of our lives that God wants me and you to get straightened out. Why do they test those cars? To find places in those cars that's got to get straightened out. If they let a bunch of mal-produced cars go out onto the market, what's it going to do to their names, to that name that they put on that car? It's going to deflate it. God's going to test you if He lets you go out trying to do the work of the ministry, and you've got areas in your life that He has got to get straightened out in you. What's it going to do to His name? And Isaiah 48, verse 10 and 11, will tell you He will not allow His name to be polluted. He will not share His glory with any flesh. He will test kingdom instruments. And if you get your test and you still aren't doing good, and you pass maybe the first test, but you go on down the line and you still start flunking, he'll recall you. I ain't never heard that before, Delbert. Well, I'll guarantee it. You look into the church world. You look out there what's been going on. You look at some of these pastors fall into the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. What's God done to them? He's recalled them. And he'll recall me if I don't stand straight. Now, does that make sense? Yes, it does. Let's go to Ezekiel 34. I was going to try to avoid this one, but I need to put it out here. Ezekiel 34. I'll get to Acts in a minute. Because you really need to understand this. Sometimes you've gone through, maybe this is why the Lord will have me to share this morning. You've gone through many things here in this assembly. I want to help you understand some of it. You're coming to a place now that I can share some real good word with you without you thinking I'm a loony goony and goofy. You've heard enough now that you know I know what I'm talking about, and I can share some things with you. And by the way, tonight, tonight I'll be sharing about Halloween. Halloween. The word means holy evening. Hallowed be thy name. Is that what he said, Troy? That's tonight. Baiting you. See how many take it. Ezekiel chapter 34. Now, the last several times we've been together and teaching times, and I do a whole lot more teaching than I do preaching, but I feel like that's one of the fivefold ministry gifts. You won't find preacher in the fivefold ministry. You'll find teacher. Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Not preachers. So therefore, to perfect the saints, I've got to do the work of a teacher. Not the work of a preacher. Okay? So I'm doing the work of a teacher more than I am anything else. Now, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, this is Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy against the who? Everybody say shepherds. Shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, unto the shepherds who be of the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. They do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus was a shepherd. But what I want you to see here, most of all, is that the shepherd speaks of pastors. Every pastor is the shepherd of his congregation or the shepherd of his flock. Is that right? Well, what we're having right here is Ezekiel is prophesying against pastors. Pastors. And he says to them, now let's read that. And Israel, who remembers what Israel meant from Wednesday night? Who does anybody remember what the name Israel means in your Old Testament? Israel, in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 38, says Israel, the church in the wilderness. So Israel is an Old Testament type of church, and Israel is also the body of Christ. Do you see that? And it says, so let's look at it in that light. Son of man, prophesy against the pastors of the body of Christ. Now, if I'm a smart pastor, I'll look and I'll see what he's saying here. Prophesy against the pastors of the body of Christ. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the pastors. Woe be to the pastors of the body of Christ that do feed themselves. Does that make a lot more sense to you? Should not the pastors feed the body of Christ? Now that's what he's talking about here. And we get down through it, you'll see where he's going to recall these pastors, these shepherds that do not feed the body of Christ. You eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool, and kill them that you feed. But you feed not my people, my congregation, my body of Christ. So many preachers and pastors today, they're not in this thing to perfect the saints. They're not in this thing to help anybody. It is simply and plainly a job to them. They have decided to do it because they enjoy one of the three lusts, and we'll get into that in just a second, I hope, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. They enjoy being before people. Or they enjoy the lust of the flesh. The flesh just loves to be before people. It loves to be noticed. It loves to be applauded. Or they've gotten to this thing because it's an easy living, the lust of the eyes, mammon. They like things. And they are not feeding the flock. They're living off of the flock. They're buying their clothes from off of the flock. They're eating from off of the flock. But should they be not feeding the flock? Now, doesn't that make a lot more sense than talking about sheep and shepherds? Verse 4. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Does that sound like what a pastor should be doing? Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Have you ever seen a pastor who is a dictator? If you haven't, then think of a father who is. It's the same principle. A father in the home who is a dictator over his wife and over his children is the same thing as a pastor who is a dictator over the deacons and elders and the saints. Verse 5. And they were scattered because there is no pastor. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. I'll say this because I taught it last Sunday night. A new look at the mark of the beast. If I do not feed you and take care of you, then you're going to leave here, you're going to get scattered, and you're going to become prey to all the beasts of the field. Now, does that line up with what I taught you last week? Beast. Humanism. You're going to be looking. There is a spiritual void, particularly in the born-again Christian. And you will look and you will seek and you want to find God. There's something in you driving. And if I can't show you God, if I can't show you Christ, you're going to leave here. You're going to be scattered and you're going to go look for it. And you'll become prey. You'll become prey to what's out there. This doctrine sounds good. Now, this doctrine sounds good. A true pastor, a true shepherd is interested in all of these things, understanding that you're going to be taking the mark unless I help you. Verse 6. My sheep wander through all the mountains. Mountains are kingdoms. You're going to go out of here and you're going to wander through all the churches, all the different little kingdom churches, and you know, and you're going to hear this one and this one and this one. And upon every high hill, place of revelation, Jesus went up on the mountain when he gave the Sermon on the Mount. Moses went up on the mountain when he received the Ten Commandments. High place is the place of revelation. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search for seek after them. Therefore, you pastors, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock, my congregation, my people, my body of Christ, my church became a prey, and my people became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no pasture, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye pastors, hear this word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee. I am against thee. Do you realize that the majority of the pastors in the church world today, God is against? Woo! Because it is nothing more than a job to them. He's against them. And his heart is weeping and crying for the people that have to sit there and listen to that stuff. And the Word of God comes forth, if they just sit here and read it. We was in this morning in Sunday school in Genesis chapter 11 and 12. Get out! The Word of God says, coming to the people. Get out of that family. Get out of that denomination. Get out. And let me take you someplace that you know not whether you go. Separate yourself from that. Am I scriptural? Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the pastors, and I will require my people at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the people. Neither shall the shepherds, pastors, feed themselves anymore. For I will deliver my people from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Is he recalling pastors today? He sure is. If they don't have the word of the Lord in them, and if they're falling prey to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, God's getting them out from behind the pulpit. He's tired of it. He's sick of it. He wants his people fed. He wants them to grow up. Get off of the milk. Get you some meat. Grow into the full man, which is the nature and the stature of the fullness of who? Right. You can read, well, let's just go on. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. He says, my sheep knoweth my voice, and they follow me. As the shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and the dark day. Some of you have relatives right now, and you know they're miserable where they sit. And you know they're not being fed the word of the Lord. And you know they're being told lies. God will get them out. If they're seeking after him, and really seeking after him, God will bring them out. Because his sheep know his voice, and they will follow him. Verse 13. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries. And isn't it funny? He's talking about sheep, and he's going to bring them out from the people. I will bring them out from the people, and gather them out of the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains, the kingdom churches, the churches that are really preaching the kingdom of the Word of God, by the rivers, and in all the habitation places of the country. And rivers are places where green things grow. Life, not barrenness, not deadness. God's going to bring them to where there's life. For out of your belly shall flow, help me, rivers of living water. And you're like a tree planted by a river, bringing forth your season in its, your fruit in its season. And by the river, in the book of Revelations, there's trees. They're you. I will feed them a good pasture upon the high mountains of Israel. Shall their fold be. There shall they lie in the good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. I will find up. I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. If you get fat and strong, look out. If I get up here for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, start feeding off of you rather than feeding you, look out, Delbert. He will what to them? Destroy me. Do you see the calling of the ministry that I'm trying to project to you? Do you see the true purpose and intent of true ministry? And it is up to you to get into the Word so you'll know true ministry. And you know that much of what I teach and show you is concerning what true ministry really is. And if you will teach this to your loved ones and relatives, rather than telling them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you start showing them some revelation like this, they don't want to speak in tongues. Folks, if they wanted to speak in tongues, they'd be here. But they do want to grow in the Lord. Now we know, because we're there, we understand that a portion of growing in the Lord is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They have not yet received that. And if they wanted to talk in tongues, they would go to a church where they talked in tongues. And if you'll show them some of these things, I better hush. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Judgment begins first at the house of God. He judges this house. Who's he going to judge first? You're looking at him. Husband, he judges your house. Who's he going to judge first? Same principle. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between rams and rams, and the he-goats. Let me tell you what that means. You're not out of this. You know, you're not just sitting there footloose and fancy free. He's going to judge the cattle and the cattle in you. In other words, there's some goats and there's some sheep in you. He's going to judge it. He's going to judge the sheep and the goat in you, as well as judge me. So you see, though, most of this has been about me, but right here he's talking about you. Verse 22, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. In other words, I don't do a whole lot of judging. Now it's a fictitious thing to say that God doesn't tell us to judge, because we do. As parents, now if you're a parent, raise your hand. All right, do you have to judge in your home things? Do you have to discern and tell a child if he's right or wrong? Is that judgment? What does a judge do? Determine right and wrong. But what the Bible teaches us how to do, or what to do rather, in concerning judgment, is how to judge. Not to judge, but how to judge. There's a difference. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. But it's going to begin first with me. From this passage, this 34th chapter of Ezekiel, do you see that God will be recalling pastors? And at the same time, do you see that he will be calling out those that know his voice, his sheep, his flock? He'll be calling them out and he will be leading them to green pastures, to where they can be fed, to where they can be properly shepherded. And except the Lord build the house, they that build it labor in vain. So if we build the house according to the pattern of the Lord, and I do what a pastor is supposed to do, and you begin to start judging the cattle and the cattle in you, and we start getting this thing really together, what can you expect to happen? Man, is that a Bible promise? If you do Bible principles and stand on Bible promises, you will get Bible results. Now, if I, in the natural sense of this chapter, if I was a guy and I had a bunch of sheep and I was going to hire me a shepherd, I really wouldn't want one that would go and skin my sheep and make clothes out of them and eat them. And God's the same way. He doesn't want His people to go to churches where they would get skint and where the pastor lives off of them, eats them. The pastor is to feed the flock. I don't know why in the world I got into all of that. Are you in Acts? Book of Acts, chapter 1. Kingdom instruments will be tested. Pastors will be tested. Do you see that? Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers will be tested. Kingdom instruments will be tested. Paul says if you desire to be a teacher, you desire a good thing. But the teachers will receive the greater judgment. So you see, where much is given, much is required. Now, kingdom instruments. Real quick. Adam was a kingdom instrument. Noah was a kingdom instrument. We looked today at Abraham. Was he a kingdom instrument? Well, let's see. Somebody's not sure. Adam was created in the likeness and the image of God and given dominion over the whole earth. Was that right? All right, then he was to reproduce himself. Right? Fill it? Replenish it? Or replenish it? He was to do it the first time. So then he was a kingdom instrument to take total dominion over all the earth. Noah was a kingdom instrument to continue on the righteous line of God. Is that what he did? Was he tested? Well, he sure was. 100 years of building an ark, that's a big test. Was Adam tested? Sure was, wasn't he? How about Abraham? Was he a kingdom instrument? From the loins of Abraham would come the seed that God wanted in this world. Was he tested? How about Jesus Christ? Was he a kingdom instrument? Was he tested? How about you and me? Do you want to be an instrument of glory? Do you want to be an instrument of honor? Do you want to be a vessel of honor? Then you're a kingdom instrument. All kingdom instruments, raise your hands. Will you be tested? That's simple, isn't it? But yet we want to blame everything on the devil, not understanding that God is allowing this thing in my life to be touched by the devil so that I can put the fire of the Holy Ghost to it and burn it up. He'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. And the fire is to burn the chaff out of you, the junk out of you. Willis yesterday, he had a staple gun and that thing get jammed up and he got upset with that staple gun. We told him it was saving him. By the time the day was over, though, Willis would just as calmly just turn that staple gun over and pull that staple out. Burnt that right out of him, boy, I'll tell you. And when you can begin to look at instances in your life in that light, the thing that ticks you off the most is the very thing that's trying to save you. You get upset with your kids. God sent them to save you. Pastor gets upset with his flock. He sent you to save me. And before, hear this now. I'll just let you answer me. Will junk go into the kingdom of God? Do you got some junk in you? What you going to have to do with it? And does God show you what it is? You better believe it. Put the fire of the Holy Ghost to it and understand that's what He's there for. Get it out. Okay, now that's individually will be tested that way. How about corporately? Was Israel tested in the wilderness? That's right. Then will the church of the Lord Jesus Christ be tested? Will this church be tested? Be ready for it. Be ready for it. And look at it in that light. It don't upset me if you come and you say, Satan is attacking our church. It doesn't. But as long as you're looking at it in the right line, that it's for a purpose. Everything is for a purpose. To get the junk out of the... Isn't the Word of God complicated? If He allows the devil to touch in your life what you need to get burnt out of it, is that what we just... Did we come up with that conclusion? Then when He allows the devil to touch the church to show us what it needs to get burnt out of it, because He's coming back not after a church with a lot of junk in it, but after a church without spot, without wrinkle. Now, do you see how it's going to get that way? I got to get the junk burnt out, individually and corporately. It's not deep at all, is it? Isn't the Word simple? All right. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take us to a place that will leave you wanting to know what in the world I'm trying to get to. And then I'm going to stop and I'm going to do it again next Sunday. Because this is where we need to be at right now. Because tonight I really want to minister on Halloween. So in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8. This is the Great Commission. All right. And in verse 8, Jesus, is that red in your Bible if you've got red letters? Who's talking? Jesus. He says, but you shall receive power, that's dunamis power, that's supernatural power. That's the kind of power that He had. You shall receive supernatural dunamis power, miracle working power. Now, Amplified and NIV say when. That is a bad translation. King James does marvelous with this word. And King James says what? After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Not when, after that. Now that word in the Greek, where it is? Well, I thought I wrote it down. Okay. It means to arrive, occur, attack, influence, distribution, direction towards a coming event. What did I just say? You're going to receive the power Jesus had. How many of you can right now go down here to the funeral home and walk into those rooms and do what Jesus did? Can you do it? Oh, no, I haven't tried it. You don't practice that. When you are converted, you begin at a point. We'll call it point A. And the fullness of your maturity goes all the way. Well, let's call it the point Z. Okay? And all of these places in here are steps and lines upon lines and precepts upon precepts and here a little and there a little. And you're working it all out, aren't you? After that means just that. Somewhere between here and here, you will have the dunamis power that Jesus Christ had. You'll receive miracle-working power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You got to have the Holy Ghost to even expect to get to Z, you see. You got to have it. And it's in here, you see. You got to have that Holy Ghost. It has to come upon you. And it has to begin with one point, but it's working towards its end. It's in the dunamis, the power, it's coming that way. And you can't even expect to do it without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But it's after that. It's after this point A. Do you see that? You receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. Okay? But there's two thoughts there. You receive power. The other thought is you'll be witnesses. I'm not dealing with witnesses. Okay? I'm dealing with power. After that. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. Most Christians today, Spirit-filled believers, baptized in the Holy Ghost, tongue-talking believers, are under the opinion that they received all of this dunamis power at the time that they began to speak in tongues, that the Holy Ghost came upon them. Did they? No. You see? But it was the beginning. You have to have it. Romans chapter 8, verse 23, calls the Spirit the first fruits. The first fruits of the Spirit, not the fullness. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14 says that the Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the beginning. It's the initial payment, not the fullness. It is where we begin. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not everything. You've got to work A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, all that through, you see. And on down through here, all these tests, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all these are tests, all the way through, and you get down here to somewheres, you'll have that dunamis power. Bible promise. And you wonder how some men have that power, and you read books like Smith Wigglesworth, and we concentrate. Some of you may not know who Smith Wigglesworth is. They called him the Apostle of God. If you've ever read a book about that man, it'll astonish you. He raised the dead. He stood them up in the corners and told them to walk in the name of Jesus, and they walked. And we concentrate on the miracles that the guy done. And the book's about the miracles that the guy done. But I finally read a book that told me about the guy's life. And he worked out A, B, C, D, E, F. He didn't come into the ministry raising the dead. Line upon line upon line, and precept upon precept upon precept, and here a little and there a little. And we're moving from strength to strength and from faith to faith and then from glory to glory. Was Jesus tested? When did he receive his power? After the testing. And I'll show you that next week. He received the dunamis right here that we're talking about in verse 8. He received dunamis after the test of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Not before, after. And when he could come up with the right answer, it is written, he went out with the right power. Now, he was offered all this other power. I'll show you next week. He was offered the power of darkness. The wrong power. There is spiritualism right now today. You can have that. There is a real world of spiritualism. And you can have that if you give yourself to it. These people, some of them are phonies, but some of these people that you read and hear about are not phonies. They're real. They're witches. What's the battle for? The mind. Who's got their mind? Okay. And I'll show you, according to the scriptures, that very thing. And I'll do it next week, next Sunday morning. I'll show you where Jesus was born of the Spirit. I'll show you where Jesus then was baptized in water. I'll show you then where Jesus received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Then he went into testings. You see, what the baptism of the Holy Ghost really does is give you a wilderness experience. It opens it up so you can have a wilderness experience. Now, you can change that wilderness experience into a wilderness wanderings. Israel had a wilderness wandering. They were in it 40 years. Or you can have a wilderness experience for 40 days. It's determined by how long it takes you to respond. It is written. And you have to do more than say it. You have to live it and be it and walk it out. The word has to become flesh in you. After all of that happened, he received dunamis. And then he went and said to them, I am anointed to preach and heal and teach. Amen. Some of you today are wondering about your testings and your times of trials in your life. I want you to understand it's God working in your life, both the will and the to-do of His good pleasure. You think you are under a satanic attack. And you will be if you give into it, I promise you. He'll rip you up, chew you out, and spit you. Swallow you, devour you. The word devour means to swallow. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Right? Amen. He's seeking in your life what you will give him. Give no place to the devil. Give him a bottomless pit in your life. Don't wait to revelations. You go ahead and give him one now, a place where no foothold in your life, a bottomless pit, and then he cannot devour you. Some of you are wondering about things you're going through. Understand, it is God working in you. He's touching in you things in your life that you need to get corrected. If you have a problem with anger, don't say the devil's making me angry. What's really making you angry? Carnal mind. Understand that it's God showing you. You need to get that out of your life. Doesn't that make a lot more sense? If you have a problem with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, and I'll talk about them more next week, it's the devil pointing it out in your life because you're weak there, and that's where you give him place. Right? But God's showing you, you've got to get that thing burnt out. And if you'll look at it that way, Willis finally saw that stapler was saving him. If you'll look at it that way, it'll help you. It'll help you. It'll change your whole outlook. Now, some of you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Lord has really laid it on my heart to teach a series concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't know when yet. I don't know how yet. I don't know how it's going to take place yet. But I want to have it on tape. I want to have at least an 8-tape series that when people come into this church with no instructions about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we can hand them free an 8-tape teaching about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and what it's really going to do in their life. Not so they can run around here in charismata, flowing in the 9 gifts over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's not just to speak in tongues and prophesy and interpret tongues. And it's not just to lay hands on the people and heal them and discern spirits and work miracles and healings and all of those things. That's not what it's for. It's to burn out in you the chaff. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Stand, please. Heads bowed.
Say, Delbert, this morning you're right. You know, I never looked at it that way. But I really see now that God is dealing with me as an individual, as a kingdom instrument. He wants to use me, and I understand now that He can't use me until I get this mess out of my life. I understand that a little better today. If this is you, would you please raise your hand to know I'm on track? Amen. Amen. Now you'd say, Delbert, I have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. But I also see that I need it. And I really want it in my life. I want it with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Not just so I can speak in tongues, but so I can allow the Holy Ghost. So I can allow the Holy Ghost to do its work in me. If this is you, would you raise your hand? Amen. Amen. Okay. I need you to come down. I want to pray for you. I'll give you a little instructions, and then I'll pray for you. And those of you that want to help minister here with these, there's about six. Those of you that want to help minister with this and help us pray for these individuals, I want you to stay. But the rest of you are officially dismissed. I ask you to come back tonight. Hear the teaching on the book. Hear the teaching on the book of Halloween. Hear the teaching on Halloween. Let me show you some things. Let the word of the Lord show you some things. 6 p.m. 6 o'clock tonight. But you are dismissed.